Blog Talk Radio.
Take a minute and thank everyone for sharing in the memories of Vito tonight. As I said last night, Vito was a member of Late Night Poets, and sadly, it took us a year to find out that he had passed. And he will be missed terribly. He's a good guy, a lot of fun. Hello, Mindy. How are you tonight?
Doing well, Jean. How are you?
Hanging in there. Looking at the board filling up, I don't know, but we had Italian music. That's a good place, huh?
I think it's a wonderful place to start. You bet it is. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. So that was pretty comical. I said, what can I play? And I'm like fishing through things. You know, and I said, I might. And then I like that one. I said, okay, well, then that'll be it, I guess. So it works.
Perfect. It was perfect.
It was a team effort. Team effort. Yes. So anyway, it's good to have you joining us this evening. And I have a bunch of callers. So let me pick them up, and then we'll get this.
Sounds good.
While this party started, not so much, but maybe a wake type thing. Lurita would want to laugh. Okay, first up, we have Pam on the line. So, hello, Pam, and welcome aboard.
Good to be here.
Hi, Pam.
Very good.
Hey, Mindy.
Absolutely. And next we have Laurent. Hello, Laurent. Welcome to the party, as if it's a party.
Thank you, and good evening, everyone. Hey, Pam. Hey, Mindy.
Hey, Laurent. Hey, Laurent.
Okay. And next we have Miss Lu Yu. Hello, Lu Yu.
Hello, everybody. I was thinking that we were all in a restaurant with wine and ravioli.
There you go.
Perfect. Perfect.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. And last but never least, we have Gray Eyes Smith. Hello, Gray.
Hi, Phil, Mindy, Pam, Laura.
Hey,
Gray.
Hey, Gray.
Hi, everybody.
This time I picked you up like a memory test. Okay, Ms. Mindy, I'm going to turn it over to you and let you start us off and, you know, get things underway.
Well, as Lou and Jean were acknowledging there, it does have that sort of celebration feel to this evening. And I think that's really the perfect sort of vibe that Nita would absolutely enjoy, that party situation, mm-hmm. and bringing his personality and warmth to that. He was a wonderful part of the family here at L&T and an integral part, as all aspects and poets that show up here are. Every one of them bringing their own gifts to the game and every one of them investing their own heart in every line. And over a period of years, we get to process and take that into ourselves, and it becomes that extended family. Vito was warm and wonderful. Anybody who's had any sort of interaction with him and spent any time on his page knows that his investment of heart and that sense of humor and that earthy warmth, he invested in everything, and including all his connections with us. So it's only right and proper that we do celebrate it tonight. And back to you, Jean.
I absolutely agree with that, Mindy. As I said last night as well, you know, Vito was passionate about everything. He didn't, passion mm-hmm. didn't just fall into the sensual or the seductive areas of his writing. His passion held true in his political rights and his, his humor rights. You know, he had a real punch to them, and he had a real sense of depth to everything. And, you know, when we were blessed enough to have him visit on the shows, it showed, and that's where you could feel that and hear that, you know, because when he spoke on his rights, you know, he definitely mastered it, you know, and it made everyone hear it, and you couldn't deny it, so it was excellent. Okay, since we're going to start out, I have a poem by Vito that Laurent is going to read for us, and this is called This Way to Ohio Columbus. By Vito. So whenever you're ready, Laurent.
All right. Thank you. All right, Vito. A pleasure to read this for you, my friend. The way to Ohio, Columbus. Italy is still the same Italy it was back when Latina was the hub of the Roman Empire, a free-for-all, or a melting pot, wherein now the only things still Italian are traditions, foods, wines, fast, expensive cars, and languages. In public, we speak formal Italian, but hundreds of dialects are spoken from region to region, all having been influenced by invaders, Germanic people, English, French, Greek, and North Africans toward the south. One of the reasons we gesture a lot when we talk. Now there's the Italy with skyscrapers and Lamborghini cars, the Italy with popes and cardinals and cathedrals, and the Italy with sheep crossing the street, mules drawing hay carts along mountain roads, roosters crowing on rooftops, and the occasional smiling contadina or farm girl, now a moniker used as a brand of tomato paste. Ah, the nerve. The latter is my birthplace, the lower southeastern part of the boot in the impoverished south, just a stone's throw from Sicily and a short boat ride from North Africa. We gave the New World its name. We gave you the piano, the best violins, music that just refuses to go out of style, pizza, lasagna, parmigiana, and on. But absent-minded people visiting Italy always focus on the wrong things. I explained to them that Giacomo Casanova was not a great lover, but just a man who tried with every woman he met and often got lucky. Geez, sometimes I have to sleep with him just to prove my point. Being Italian doesn't automatically make me a great lover. The other question they ask, so, are you in the family? Of course I am. I'm in the family of grandparents, parents, children, grandchildren, cousins and uncles. Not in the family of gangster movies. Fame. To those who ask that question, I usually give the Italian salute, which is not just the middle finger, but a combination of fist and forearm and poem.
That was marvelous, Farhat. Terrific. You did a great job. And let's start out with Pam first off. Any thoughts on this piece, Pam? Hello?
Pam? I hear you. Pam, are you there?
Okay. Well, maybe Lou, you.
You know, this is Vito's personality. It was his intelligence. It was his humor. It was his attitude. He could just speak and let you know everything that happened, and somebody's at my door with my Italian doorbell, I shall call back. Excellent read. Excellent poem. This is Vito.
Thanks, Lou. See you soon.
Okay.
All right. How about you, Gray?
Yeah, you know, I love it. It's really a personal piece of Vito's reality in life, you know, how he's assumed to be from the family when he just flips the bird at them with a salute of fist and forearm. I really liked it. You know, it was deep yet comical, well-written, excellent flow. Fantastic read, Lawrence.
Thank you, Greg.
Thank you, Greg. And Pam, I see you're back with us. Would you like to leave a comment here?
Yeah, I technically wasn't gone, but my phone kept breaking out, so I could never quite catch my name. But, yeah, I thought this was absolutely wonderful, a perfect way to start the show, a fine example of his heart and humor, and also delves into us getting to know him a little more about his background. So very cool.
Beautiful comments. And Jean, would you like to add anything to this?
You know, everybody's really got it covered, but I did love the fact that this was Teach Me About Your Culture. And that was the contest that this was entered in. And I think it's very Vito. He's got the air of truth and that edge of, you know, humor at the end. And I thought he did a great job, and it's a wonderful piece. It tells a lot about him. So, absolutely.
And Laurent, you did a beautiful job reading that. Would you like to share on Vito's piece? Laurent?
Oh, it's going to be one of those nights, I think.
All right. Did we lose you, Laurent?
No. Yeah, it looks like you dropped. I don't know what that is.
Uh-oh. Call back, Laurent. Call back. Now, this is the perfect one to start the night with. It really, really does speak to not only his acknowledgement of history and his connections with everybody in the group, but that strong that strong and innate sense of humor that he has. So where are you taking us next?
That's what I was going to wonder about. Actually, I have a series of poems that were written for a contest by Sibaboli, and these were all in response to one of Vito's poems. So I'd like to go ahead and read his piece first. And I'm thinking that maybe I'll get you to read him, Miss Mindy, and then we can put it up for, then we can read the other pieces. So it'll make a little
all
more
right.
sense to everybody.
Sure.
So here we go. Whenever you're ready.
Okay. This one's entitled Cold Remedy by Chromatic Player. Ginger is versatile. I have a bottle of shampoo with ginger extract in my bathroom. It is supposed to prevent bald spots. I use ginger shower gel, too. The lady at the pharmacy said it helps circulation. My wife buys ginger from a stall deep in the recess of Wet Market. They have a taste unlike any London can offer. My grandmother has a recipe for honey-dipped ginger. Oh, grandmother, you knew so much about the art of surviving ginger. How I miss you. End poem.
Yeah, hang on. I think, what did I put up? Okay, never mind. That was one of the poems, not Vito's poem. Okay, sorry, guys.
I'm just playing along.
I know. I thought I put up Vito's. Chromatic Player was the next piece down, so. Well, it was a great read, Mindy. I guess we'll get comments on it, and then I'll put it there after that. You know.
Great.
My goodness. By the way,
all right,
Laurence,
welcome back. It's nice to have you join us again. Would you like to comment on this piece?
Sure. I mean, I began my comment, and all of a sudden I realized I was talking to no one. I got dropped.
Oh no.
I just wanted to say very quickly about that last poem that it demonstrated to me that Vito loved his country, its history, his heritage, disliked stereotypes, and was ready to roast tourists whenever he had the chance. And this particular poem kind of touches on that too. Oh, grandmother, you knew so much about the art of surviving winter. How I miss you. And it's his grandmother's recipe. Bonnie dipped ginger. She knew the power of ginger. And if that doesn't come from heritage, I don't know what does. Beautiful piece.
Nice comment, Laurent. And I'm glad you're back to make both of those. Welcome back, Lou.
Hi. Did
We're
you want me
to
comment
you...
next?
I would love to have you comment next.
You know, I love this poem because this reminds me so much of Grandma's heritage. Grandma and Mama, through lines and lines of history, whatever you got, they got a cure for it. They'll put a root, an herb, an extract, chicken soup to fix any problem you got. And I just got such a big kick out of this where he talked about that he needed a bottle of shampoo with ginger extract to prevent bald spots. That just tore me up. I just thought that was so funny.
Great comment. Mm. And Pam, how about
you?
Thank you.
Oh, I thought this was absolutely wonderful. Just an excellent brevity. Touching on the whole idea of the love and the wisdom that a grandmother passes on. And I really liked the lady at the pharmacy said it helps circulation. My wife buys ginger from a stall. So everybody learns what grandma has known all along. Beautifully written and very well done.
Great comments, you guys. And Gray, how about your thoughts here?
Well, I thought you did a fantastic read with that, Mindy. But, you know, the poem is, it's full of love for the grandmother and her ability to know so much and the art of surviving winter. But, you know, on the subject of danger, danger is versatile. It has many uses. And, you know, I thought he captured that wonderfully in this poem.
I agree. And Ms. Jean, would you like to comment on this one?
I think that this was a great poem, and I enjoyed the fact that he pulled in the stanza from Vito's poem. It is the national flower of Zimbabwe, one that we all agreed, but I want it to be my flower, too, for I found that it can cure melancholy. I think that that's how he drew it in, you know, the ginger and what have you. And so that was very well done. So nice work. Absolutely.
It absolutely was. And I know that you have quite a few pieces on the board, so I'm not going to add my comment to this other than to say I think that he paid wonderful honor to the piece that Vito had.
Absolutely. Okay, now let me see. Please, can I get you to read the next piece for me? And I'd also like to welcome 6-7 to the show. Hello, 667. Is that you, Martha? 667. Who's calling, please? Okay.
This is Martha.
Hi, Martha.
Hi, Martha. Welcome aboard.
Hi, Martha.
Hi. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Ms. Luyu, this is Vito's piece. The other pieces are going to circle around.
This is written by Vito Treviso by M. It is titled Ama Cuckoo Me in Mid-September. You're like the lily that adorns my backyard, a sunset in the dark of night, a glorious splash in the flaming orange sun. My flame lily appears when your birthday comes in mid-September. A dry month in the Midwest, though not as dry as it is in Zimbabwe, when the Zambezi slows down to trickle and flaming orange skies refuse to hear spiritual supplications. My lily grows solitary, clinging to other plants, scrambling over them, reaching with its tendrils as if looking for its own reflection. Or perhaps a companion, a hug buddy. Ama kukumi, some folks say, can cure minor illnesses, get rid of pimples, killing worms. Others say it can cure erectile dysfunction. And the national flower of Zimbabwe, on that we all agree. But I want it to be my flower too, for I found that it can cure melancholy. End poem.
That was wonderful. Beautiful read. Beautiful read, Luyu. That just had the warmth all over it. Let's start with you and Martha on this one.
I think it was really, really pretty. I liked the imagery in it and the knowledge that came with the flower and the sentiment was really nice and it was really well done.
Beautifully commented on there. And Gray, how about you?
I thought it was a fantastic poem. You know, it really hits the heart of the matter of the flame lily and its purpose in this world. And I thought he captured that quite beautifully. It is the national flower of Zimbabwe, on that we all agree. But I want it to be my flower, too, for I found that it can cure melancholy. And that's a beautiful thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Terrific comment. And Pam, how about you?
Absolutely a wonderful write all the way through. But I especially like that third and the closing stanza. So very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Monsieur Laurent.
Yeah, this is a poem that references someone, I assume it's a love, you're like the lily that adorns my backyard, and then proceeds to extend that metaphor all the way through the poem. The flame lily appears when your birthday comes, mid-September, and then my lily grows solitary and uses the flame lily as that metaphor for all the things that it is famous for, but that his lover can do for him as well. Because, you know, as other people have said, I want it to be my flower too. For I found that it can cure melancholy as well, all the other things that make it so important to him. So very skillful, very moving, very warm.
Absolutely. Terrific comments, everybody. And I would agree with Louie. I could never pronounce that name, not in a million years. And I'd be willing to part with $2 to anyone who thinks they can. I think that probably he had a great deal of fun putting that title on that piece, knowing somebody was going to have to pronounce that word. But it was delightful, right? And wonderful comments, everybody. And Jean, back to you.
Okay. Very much. Great comments, everybody. And great piece, absolutely. So let me go here. Let's see. Greg, can I get you to read the next one for me?
Oh, wow.
Sure, absolutely.
Okay, whenever you're ready.
Okay, this is by Kenny W., and it's called Lady Bird in Early April. Everything in the garden is running wild, untended and uncontrolled, a feast of early red rhubarb running amok in our wildlife sanctuary in springtime. There is a stone pathway overgrown with moss and flora leading to the budding apple tree, which we would sit beneath. The bench now in need of varnish after the winter's battering. Tall grass around me like reeds in an open waterway. In truth, the fauna of our English island is limited. Hedgehogs, badgers, a grass snake, and more commonly, squirrels. This is no African game park. Alone on the seat of a ladybird, a ladybird joins me on my ring finger. Is this her spirit? Reincarnate and sat with me? Before everything in the garden was lovely, you tended, you controlled, you nurtured like it was your baby. It was your baby. It grew beautiful and well-mannered, perfect. You were in the garden, and the garden was in you. I should take more care of her. End poem.
Beautiful read. Terrific read there, Gray. This was a lovely write. And Laurent, let's start out with you on this.
As you said, it is indeed a lovely write. I like the way he talks about the garden. You are the garden is you. I should take more care of her. I'm drawn to that third stanza. In truth, the fauna of our English island is limited. Hedgehogs, badgers, a grass snake, and more commonly, squirrels. I guess we don't have to worry about being hunted down by packs of wild squirrels. This is no African game park. Alone on the seat, a ladybird joins me on my ring finger. Is this her spirit? Reincarnate and sat with me? I love the way you handle this piece. Very nice.
Great comment. Thank you. And Louie, how about you?
This was wonderfully read by Gray. What I liked about this was the first sentence, because it reminded me so much of Vito. Everything in the garden is running wild, untended, and uncontrolled. That reminded me so much of his personality. You know, it just did. It just reminded me how, you know, he realized, you know, like all of us in relationships, think a garden needs to be worked on. And, you know, and sometimes when we don't tend the garden, you know, the weeds take over. But when we take care of it, it becomes beautiful. And I think this is something that we all can learn from, that everything takes work if you want beauty.
Beautiful comment and beautiful point there, too. Nice job there. Pam, some thoughts from you?
I really enjoyed this. I enjoy how and appreciate how the garden reminds him of someone that has passed on, and how he puts all the beauty of the imagery in it and the idea of taking care of the garden because it's all that is left. So just absolutely a wonderful write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. Beautiful comment. And Martha, how about you?
I thought it was really good. I liked the way he starts out describing the garden in such beautiful detail, and then it hits you with the emotion at the end that you're not expecting. I thought it was really well written.
Beautiful comment. And Gray, you did such a great job on this one. I know you were feeling it. So how about you, sir?
Yeah, you know, I really love the natural reflection to it. You know, as he's sitting in the on this bench and a ladybird comes and lands on his finger, his ring finger at that. Is this her spirit reincarnate and sat with me? Before everything in the garden was lovely, you tended, you controlled, you nurtured like it was your baby. It was your baby. It grew beautiful and well-mannered, perfect. You are the garden, and the garden is you. I should take more care of her. Yeah, just a beautiful poem.
Absolutely. Wonderful comments, everybody. Jean, how about your comment here?
I thought there was just great imagery and metaphor throughout, and it was a nicely done piece. I did not know that ladybugs were called ladybirds. What is a ladybug? I went and I looked, and I went, okay. So, see, I live and learn something simple, but not something I did not know. And, yeah. Very nicely done.
Absolutely. Kenny doesn't really embrace that poem of Vito's and Vito himself, because the garden was the place that he really did enjoy being. And he worked it so often when he was talking in the room. He would mention the fact that it was about time to make up another batch of his special spaghetti sauce, pick his tomatoes and some of the other things that he had going in the garden. He was always gardening. So that really does kind of embrace that wound.
Yeah. Rita was an interesting person. Always into something. okay. Let me put this next piece up. I think I'm going to read this one. Hopefully I won't mess up the words too badly. This is called Cry Zimbabwe. The soil where the flame lily grows, in rust-red, dried husks of earth that crumble in your hands to sand. The rich peat smell when it rains, the jagged lightning lighting up the smoke-gray sky splitting into forks. The crash of thunder rolling over dense, dry bush veldt that snaps under thick-skinned bare feet. My transplanted heart lies here under a spreading jacaranda, purple tears blanketing my grave. As the scorched sun sinks in the west, I hear a whisper in my ears, Hamba Gashli Shamwari, end poem.
Beautiful read, Jean. Beautiful read. Let's start out with a comment here from Luya.
You know, Phil, you did such a beautiful job in reading this poem. What I really like here is the connection that we all have towards him, and that, you know, we wish him a safe journey, and he will be missed immensely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I could hear that. I could hear that tremble in your voice.
Mm-hmm.
Right there. Oh boy. Okay, Pam. How about some words from you? Thank you, Lou.
This is just has amazing imagery all the way through. I like the mention of the rich peach smell when it rained, and my transplanted heart lies here under a spreading jacaranda. These are just, you know, it's so heartfelt, such a sense of loss and connection. So beautifully written and very well done.
Beautiful comment. And Laurent?
Yeah, this poem demonstrates to me that there can be written something that has no word misplaced. Every word in here is just where it needs to be, a beautifully written piece. I especially love that first stanza, the soil with a flame lily grows in rust red dried husks of earth that crumble in your sand, in your hands to sand. It's so tactile, and it's so visual, and it's so colorful. A beautiful piece.
Thank you, Laurent. Beautiful comment there. And Martha?
I thought it was beautiful the way it describes Africa and the things there, and then it gets into the emotion at the end, and it's really a beautiful art.
It absolutely was. Lovely comments, everybody. Jean, would you like to add your comment here? You read the piece, and I know that you have been thinking about it there. So.
Yeah, I think it's a wonderful piece. I really do. The descriptions for that were just great. It was really a good, I don't know if I want to say snapshot view of this place and thought and time, but it definitely was touching. And down in the AN, you know, it says, Hamagashli Shamwari means go safely, friends. And that, what a way to end that poem. It was beautifully done. Wonderful job, Yorkie Buff. Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes. So let me pick up the next one. And wait 2 seconds. Okay. Now the next one I have put up is, Pam, can I get you to read this one?
Most likely.
Okay. Can I get you to read the next one?
Yes.
Okay. I just put it up by Barbara G.
All right. Missing Vito by Barbara G. And it goes like this. If you were an evergreen, you'd be an arbutus, lean, smoothly burnished with satin sheen, taut skin, tan shades of umber and cinnamon, torso and limbs fine-grained, solid and sound. We'd find you out west on a rocky coastline, etched against an indigo sky, catching rays of sun, looking out over the waves for raunchy sea spirit sprites, leaves fluttering and hinting at sizzling delights, all the while missing the flowering trees of home, their purple trumpet blooms that smell divine, sitting around swilling Malbec from Mendoza, joking in Lunfardo with Portenos from the past. You may be back in your home, Barrio, by now, writing piquant rhymes under a jacaranda tree, but I still imagine you as an arbutus with evergreen leaves rustling potent poetry. End poem.
Beautiful read, Pam. Beautiful. Before I ask for the first person to comment, I'd like you each to add your own personal memory of Vito and onto your comments. So let's start with Laurent here.
My own personal memory of Vito? Well, let me do the poem first. This particular poem is, again, a beautiful offering, tautly written, very picturesque, and possibly the perfect description of Vito back home writing piquant rhymes under a jacaranda tree. I love the last two, but I still imagine as an arbutus with evergreen leaves rustling potent poetry all the way through, beautifully written, a professional job, highly competent. As far as Vito's concerned, I didn't know him that well. I knew him through the radio shows when we'd come on and delight us. I loved him as Father Guido Sarducci. I thought it was a hoot.
Absolutely. I would agree there. Wonderful comment. And comment on Vito, too. Let's go ahead and get your thoughts on this one, Gray.
I thought it was a wonderful poem with amazing, vivid imagery. And, you know, you can feel the adoration that she has for him in this rite, you know, where she has him standing at Arbutus on a west coast overlooking the waves of raunchy sea sprites, leaves fluttering and hinting at sizzling delights. That was a fantastic poem. And, you know, Vito himself was a humorous man. He always had something funny to say, and when he didn't, he was very smart. I really enjoyed this poem. And Vito as well.
I'm glad that you added that. Beautiful comment. Beautiful comment, Greg. And let's get thoughts from you on this. When you read this, Pam, and you did a beautiful job reading.
Yeah, this is just absolute thing. It's a beautiful, heartfelt tribute. I love the imagery and metaphors throughout, and the ending line with the evergreen leaves rustling potent poetry. The whole idea that he'll forever live on through his poetry is said beautifully in that line. And yeah, I didn't know him real well, but I did enjoy when he came on to shows. He was funny and very cool guy.
Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you. And Luyu, how about you?
You know, that second stanza reminded me so much of his personality. He did have a rocky personality. He could go left to right, 360, before you know it. And, you know, the indigo skies and the rays of the sun reminded me so much of what he saw through his eyes. And then, you know, he did have that personality of raunchy sea, because he could really get down and dirty. And, you know, he could fluster our leaves. And, you know, but then, you know, I still would go, you know, Vito. And the groom, that's all he had to say was his name, Vito. And, you know, because he would just freely give out those sizzling delights.
Absolutely.
Excellent read, Sam.
Great comment, Lou. Great, and recall there as well. I was surprised Pam didn't mention the time that Vito got himself in trouble with us in one of the contests. His language, we have him to tone it down a little bit because it was a little ribald and a little ripe, and he was having fun with life. And Pam and I kind of shoo-shooed him for that, and he corrected it and everything and did all that for the entry, but. But then he turned around and busted us because we did a rap right the next week. shook his finger at us and went, uh-uh, I'm going to tell Mom. I think that was exactly what I'm going to tell Mom. So, yeah, this is a beautiful right, Barbara G. And I don't know, you didn't indicate anywhere that I can see, but that picture looks like she may have done it herself. And if not, it is a beautiful one, representative of an incredible rite there. The visuals were just beautiful, and the sentiments as well. And it is all you, Jean.
Okay. Well, I thought this was a wonderful piece and very well penned, and a wonderful nod to Vito himself. So I want to thank Barbara G for sharing. Vito, oh, my gosh. I didn't know Vito very well. I knew him from the radio as well. But what a character he was. He was larger than life. He could, like, kick the whole room up a notch, you know, when he would come in and get started. In more ways than one, right, Lou? That's what I was saying.
Yes.
He could just,
and he was quick.
Bad.
Quick with his words.
He was. You had to be three steps ahead of him to head him off and say, no.
Mm-hmm.
But he was he was a wonderful soul, truly. He didn't hesitate to Oh, and the first time I heard him on the phone, it was all over for me. Because he came on, and I'm the one who said, oh, my God, he sounds just like Father Guido Sarducci. And I couldn't get that image out of my head. Every time I heard him, that's all I would see in my head. And I know it didn't look like that, but it didn't tell me any different because the voice just kept that image. And he really did sound like him. I almost pulled a piece up and played it tonight for the memory of him. Because I just always called him Father Guido. In fact, for a while, he carried that image on his poetry. and the piece I was going to put up was called Breakfast in Heaven. And I just, it was just too on the point, you know, for tonight, I guess. And I just said, maybe I should not do that. But he definitely was a joy to have, and he was bad. When he would come on the After Midnight show, I'd say, I think it's time for me to go to bed now. Because I didn't want to listen because I didn't want to have to get upset. You know, but he was great, and everybody enjoyed him. So that was the beauty. He's a great man. He really was. He's a lot of fun. And as I say, he carries a great amount of passion. He carried a great amount of passion within him. So that was a wonderful part of, you know. And this is excellent.
This LMP group is such a vast, you know, conglomeration from across the world. You know, we have people with Irish accents and Spanish accents and beautiful African accents. And we get all calling in, which is fantastic. Love to hear their voices. He was really concerned about nobody being able to understand him, telling me his accent was really thick. And I didn't believe him until he called in. And I made him say his name three times. Go, your name was what? Are you? And he kept saying, Vito, Vito. And I went, I'm sorry, could you repeat that for me? Three times I made the poor man say that. But I was like, oh, my God. But then he had me laughing, so it was pretty good. But yeah.
Well, once you tuned in with him, you were fine. You know it was him, and you somehow tune in, and I understood every word he said. But yeah, at first it was like, who? This is funny. <Good guy. laughs>
Actually,
you know what he just rolled with? Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's hard to hear if there's a pause or not, but I just wanted to mention there was one thing I remember about him. I remember the first time he saw that I was from Wisconsin, he said to me, I'm a cheese head too, but I'm a mozzarella, not a cheddar.
Oh my God, that's too funny.
Yeah. He's a character.
That is so him. Yeah, so him. That's a great one. That's a great one, Pam. I love it.
Absolutely. And just so everybody knows, I want to welcome Passion's Promise to the show. Hey, Passion's, welcome.
Hello, Passion.
Hi, Passion.
Good evening.
How are y'all? Good.
Good
evening. Let me see. I lost the room. There it is. I found it. Okay. Now, Laurent, can I get you to read the next one for me, please?
Yep.
Okay.
This is a month most unforgiving by Mike Perry. January remains unasked for, my most undesirable, as it casts doubt and fears, prepares to carry over the cold hand, approaches steady, benign, most absolute. Even as the moments and the seconds begin to tick away, I reminisce over love eternal, a constant bond, our saving grace. It was the light that showed us the how and the way to follow. When it comes to her, this woman I've truly loved, I see her face consoling. She cares for my heart. She bore us children. She toiled through sacrifice, blamed no one, stayed sane. She sits with me now, attending to her vows of sickness, and health. She holds my hand as I recall our past life, while love and youth blur somewhat. Shadows of death remain resolute. Outside, the winds were anticipating, gathered into the eaves. Snow grew heavy and expectant, coating branches with ease. As my spirit left my body, I was flooded by precious memories. End poem.
Wow. That was an amazing read, Laurent. Beautifully done. Let's start
that
out with Grayson.
Wow.
I'm sorry, Mindy, did you see me?
Yes, please.
Okay. You know, that was a beautiful read, Laurent, and a touching poem, you know, on the subject of losing somebody. It's very heartfelt and deep as well. I really liked the closing stanza. Outside, the winds were anticipating, gathered into the eaves. Snow grew heavy and expectant, coated in branches with ease. As my spirit left my body, I was flooded by precious memories. It's a beautiful, beautiful poem.
It truly is. Beautiful comment on that, too. And let's get a comment here from Passion's Promise, since you just joined us.
It was a beautiful, beautiful poem from beginning to end. You did it well, Lauren. When it comes to her, this woman I can truly love, I see her face consoling. She cares for my heart. She bore us children. You know, I've known Vito for a very, very long time. I mean, whenever I started AP, and that was over 20-something years ago. And he was always a loving, caring individual, full of laughter. And this would fit him to a T. It is a beautiful piece.
Absolutely, and wonderful comment there, too. Would you like to share a personal anecdote or memory that you've got of Vito?
Oh, that Vito. He's an amazing man. Like I said, I met him over 20, almost 25 years ago, and he always called me the passionate one. And we would write, and his sense of humor, and I put a link to one in one of the comments, I don't remember where, but that I did up for him. And he was on the phone, and he was just laughing. You couldn't hear him. You know, during this time, they had what was called, like, AP wife, AP husband, AP girlfriend, you name it, they had it. And his AP wife was like, Tori, you know, you need to leave Vito alone. And I started laughing, and he's like, oh, no, we got an open marriage. We're good. And I laughed because he just said it all so innocent, and I was like, oh, he didn't want to let go. He listened intently to whatever issues was going on, you know, and vice versa. Right. He was a really great listener. He's a good man.
Thank you for sharing that with us, and a lovely comment there too. Thank you. And Martha, how about you? Some thoughts on this piece?
I thought it was really, really pretty. It's deeply emotional, and it just kind of tears your heart out at the end. I thought it was excellently written.
It was. It sure was. And how about till we get Louie's comment? Oh, Louie, are you back yet?
Yes.
Okay.
You know, he was the Italian lover. You know, he loved women. He loved love, and that's what I remember about him, loving love. And, this poem, he would once in a while bring out past memories of his relationships. And, you know, who doesn't want to be loved? And when we lose somebody, we recollect, whether we want to or not, all those wonderful memories that we spent with him. And this is kind of what it reminded me of. the remembrance of past love.
Mm-hmm. Beautifully nice. Said. Beautifully said. Laurent, you did a gorgeous job reading that. Would you like to comment on the piece?
In the month in which we lose a loved one, has a tendency to cast its shadow annually. It's hard not to remember and let the feelings of that day settle over the moments, as it were. But he does a fine job here of celebrating, if you can use that word, loss, making it somehow more palatable, putting in words what's in everyone's heart. It's a beautiful piece.
Beautiful comment. And Pam, how about your thoughts here?
Yeah, this is another beautiful write. I like that this is a story that brings us into the, that, you know, of love through the best times and the worst times, through life and death. So just a wonderful write and very well done.
It was. Lovely comments, everybody. Jean, would you like to make a comment on this piece?
I just want to say it's a wonderful piece. I find it amazing the difference of fans that we've found inspired by that poem by Vito. It's pretty amazing what it's drawn. And great job, Mike Perry. Thanks for sharing with us and allowing us to read it tonight. Okay, Miss Mindy, can I get you to read the next one for me?
You bet.
By Mermaid.
All right, this one's by Mermaid, and it's entitled Flowers That Heal. Gaze averted from a screen, flickering as words transcend, out a window of daydreams. The frost has killed all color from view, even evergreens sag dutifully subdued. A solitary weed yields its single bloom, a vibrant tiny yellow daisy stem, to remind us that flowers, wherever they may bloom, will, without fail, heal. End poem.
Nice. Nice read.
That is a gorgeous piece. And I'm sorry, I was hung up with the words. She kind of caught me up there a little bit. I'm going to go ahead and start out with Martha this time.
Oh, I loved it. I thought it was very picturesque, and it was just beautiful. And the way it ended was just wonderful. It was very excellently written.
Beautifully expressed, I agree. And Lou, you, how about your thoughts?
You know, this kind of reminded me of, you know, because Vito wasn't always happy all the time. Sometimes you could feel his sadness by the comments he make, and then he would just, you know, kind of drop off AP for a little bit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and this reminded me of him. You know, that his personality, we all have cracks. And then, you know, here it is, this weed, which is a natural healer. It blooms through that hardness. And that's how I, you know, you could see him. Even though he had gone through a lot, his personality just blossomed, you know, so many times.
Lovely comment. Pam, how about you?
Oh, I think this is absolutely wonderful. Mermaid has a real talent for brevities. And in here, I really like how she shows us the strength of the flower that can bloom in the sidewalk cracks. So beautifully written and very well done.
Absolutely. And Lamont, some thoughts from you?
Yeah, this poem reminds us that a single bloom, no matter how inconsequential, can be consequential in the same way that a person, one single person, can be the same thing, a person of comfort, a person that heals. Beautiful brevity.
Very nice note added there, too. I like that. And Passion's Promise, your thoughts here, please?
I agree with the comments, and yes, I feel that this was solely him, you know, his, like they said, you know, his ways when he was upset or sad, he would venture off. And like those flowers, you know, if he came back and blossomed even more so and shared his love and his wisdom. And, you know, with that being said, this is great brevity done with beautiful metaphors and imagery. I love it.
Wonderful comment. Thank you. And Gray, your thoughts?
Sorry about that. No, that was a wonderful write and a fantastic read as well. But, you know, the power of the flower to heal is infinite. And, you know, it always brings such delight to the heart and mind and soul when we see these blooms, regardless of their location or their situation. You know, life shines through no matter what. And that's what I get out of flowers blooming.
I love it when poets do their poeting, because they come up with such wonderful additions that lend a wonderful note onto a beautiful piece. So great comments there from everybody. And Jean, would you like to leave some thoughts here too?
It's just wonderful work, everyone. The poems are incredible tonight, and I'm enjoying them. So thank you so much for sharing that with us, Mermaid. Beautiful job. I'm not sure what that noise is, but when I track it down, Greg, can I get you to read the next one for me?
Sure.
There you go. Thank you so much.
Eba, this is by Oak Blue 34, and it's called Poets Live On Through Their Writings. Blue bonnets rise each spring from long germinated seeds, attracting lovers, holding hands as they walk gently in the fields. But too soon they fade, stems composting the earth, seeds absorbed, ready to begin the cycle again next year, and the next, and the next. Poets too plant seeds, which germinate, burst forth in many colored hues, some sad and blue, some angry and red, some tone of a pastel sunset. Yet poems, unlike flowers, live on generation to generation, reminding us of the winter's wisdom, pathos, charm, and depth. Some are read every spring, then put away for another year, only to rise again to be read out loud by a new generation, with new insights, understandings. Thus, they never die. Like the poets who wrote them, they are always with us, resting, ready to be read, again, just out of view, but always with us. End poem.
Beautiful read, Gray. Beautiful read. And Pam, how about your thoughts here on this write by Oak Blue?
Oh, I really like this one. I like the idea that poets, live on through their poetry, that because of their words they leave behind, we will always remember them in their heart and their wisdom and the zest for life. So just an absolutely amazing tribute and very well done.
Great comment there. And how about you, Martha?
I thought it was wonderful. I thought it was a beautiful tribute to poets and the fact that our writings is one thing that will live on after we're gone. I thought it was really well done.
Absolutely. Yeah, this was a moving piece. How about your thoughts on this one, Laurent?
That third stanza, poets too plant seeds which germinate, burst forth in many colored hues, some sad and blue, some angry and red, some tone of a pastel sunset. A great tribute, really, to Vito and the poets in general who plant those beautiful seeds.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. Thank you. And Lou, how about you?
You know, what I like so much about this poem is it just reminds me again of his personality, attracting lovers, holding hands, you know, some of the comments that he would make. And then, you know, I like the other I like the stanza that Laurent read, but I also like the one underneath it. Yes, poems, unlike flowers, live on generation to generation, reminding us of winter's wisdom, pathos, charm, and depth. And even though he's no longer with us, I still hear him. I can still feel him. And right there in that stanza, by reading his poetry, we see what he loved, what he didn't love. We see his pathos. We see the depth of his charm and personality. And, you know, this was just a wonderfully penned poem by Oak Blue.
Beautiful comment, mm-hmm. Lee. Thank you. And Passion's Flower, or Passion's Promise, I'm sorry.
I couldn't help it. We were talking about flowers. I just had to go there.
Flowers, yep. So I understand. And I, too, loved what the poets to plant seeds, which germinate first forth in many colored hues. I mean, his different styles. I mean, he's, you know, his writings from humorous to sensual. Anything that really struck him, he was able to do fluently. And this piece would make him blush. I can see him blushing with his teeth. You know, he would have loved this. And I do as well. I mean, Oak Blue, she really knocked it out of the ballpark with this piece.
Lovely comments, everybody. Thank you. And Jean, would you like to add a comment here too?
I just think that everybody really has nailed it. I think it was a wonderful tribute to not only Vito, but all of our poets that we've lost. And I think that it was just a wonderful piece. So thank you so much, Oak Blue. I appreciate it very much. Now, Martha, that brings me to you. I'll get you to read the next piece.
Okay.
Thank you.
So hot today. Have you noticed?
Did I get dropped?
Nope. Did we lose you, Martha?
I can't hear Martha.
Martha?
Okay.
Are you still there? Why don't you try and call us back?
Yeah. That's probably a good idea. But in the meantime, Passions, can I get you to read the poem that I put up?
Yes, ma'am. So hot today.
Thank you.
Have you noticed even the diaphragm is yielding to the heat? Of course, the agamanthus are happily yelling in purple syllables in the oak shade, and roses always have a look of determination no matter what the weather. You don't get much for a dollar except a small half-dead daisy bush, color unknown. Water twice a day is holding hope, for there is new growth, and this will be my healing. Soon I must cut deadwood from the wormwood and the Europe, but I will leave them for a little longer, considering how graceful they are in older age. End poem.
Beautiful reading.
Nice job.
Lovely reading. Very nice job. And, Gray, how about we get some words here for Orange Sage, please?
I thought it was a beautiful poem, and you did an excellent job reading that, Passions. But,
Thank you.
Of course, the agapath and pantheus are happy yelling in purple syllables in the oak shade, and roses always have a look of determination, no matter what the weather. You know, it reminds me of seeing a frozen rose, you know, in the wintertime, you know, with the ice dripping off it. And I thought it's just paints a beautiful picture of the hope that is given for, you know, regeneration and rebirth. I thought it was a beautifully done poem.
Beautiful comment. I like that, Gray. Thank you. And Lou Yu, how about you?
What I liked about this poem is it reminded me of Vito. You know, sometimes he would talk about his aging, you know. And, you know, I love where, you know, he talked about these different plants that flourished in the heat. And then he goes into that third stanza, you know, where you go to the plant store to pick up a plant, and then you see these poor little plants that are on clearance for a dollar. And, you know, his heart just felt so sorry for that daisy plant, you know, that most people who work in the garden, they will try and bring it home and take care of it and hope that it will grow and hope that it will heal just like we would like to heal that rebirth. So I thought this was wonderfully penned.
Beautiful comment. Beautiful comment. And Passion's Promise, you did a lovely job. Would you like to comment on this?
Yeah, I'm trying to keep my emotions together. He always told me where in purple syllables in the oak shade, and roses always have a look of determination no matter what the weather. And he always told me, because I was the rose, that's what they knew me, as the Texas rose. And he told me no matter what I went through, that I was determined, and I need to stay determined and follow his lead, because he knew what he was doing. And he would talk to me until I was literally had my head back on straight, and so this is great. I love this poem.
Bookmark gift. That's a great gift and a wonderful memory there too. Thank you for sharing that. And Laurent, how about you? Some thoughts here.
Well, I was going to quote the second stanza as Gray did. The act of assigning personality characteristics of creating personas for the Agapanthus and the rose is really quite delightful. It makes the stanza so much fuller, the image so much more real when we personify the inanimate. And I love the last stanza. Soon I must cut dead wood from the wormwood and the uriops, but I will leave them a little longer, considering how graceful they are in old age. Here's someone who sees the grace in old age, doesn't see the decay, doesn't see the ugliness, the withering, but rather something far more beautiful.
I love that. I love that. Those characteristics that don't have to be so perfect, you know, in nature, a few things are, but they can still be absolutely beautiful and take your breath away, and they can still have deep meaning regardless of age and importance. I mean, he's shared flower with us that is really not the most spectacular with a half-dead daisy, but still yet the fragility of it and the knowledge of that fragility and how quickly it passes that life, but how rich it is in the time that it imparts its beauty with us. And I think that it's a beautifully written piece and a wonderful metaphor for life, and he did a great job. And is Martha back with us?
Yeah, I got dropped as a call.
Well, did you get the chance to read through this poem by Orange Sage?
Yeah, I think it's really, really pretty. I love the gardening references and the part at the end about the old age. I think it's a beautifully written poem.
Good. Thank you for rejoining us here. We're glad you're back. And
yeah, I read the whole thing before I realized somebody was listening.
Oh no! Well, we did have somebody else step in and read, but I'm glad that you called back. Jean, would you like to leave words here?
I just think this was a fabulous piece. I thought it was great imagery and well expressed piece. You know, very very nicely done. So I move on.
Is Pam with us?
These people. Pam. Pam, are you here?
I am, yes.
Would you like to comment, honey?
Oh, I thought it was a wonderful brevity, and I love how she gave the plants the personality and really just reflected well on life. So it's very well done.
Thank you. I'm glad you're back with us here. And I see Lou, you lost your headset. Are you going to still try to hang with for a little while or and see if you can get it working? Or okay, awesome. Awesome. Well, I'm glad you're hanging with Lou. You, thank you. Sorry about your headset there. Back to you, Jean.
Okay. Now the next pieces we're going to be reading are going to be from the contest that I ran and the pieces that you all have generously brought to the board. So I have to stop and think. Who just read? That was supposed to be Martha. Okay, you know what, Martha? I'm going to give you another one to read.
Okay, I'm trying to get this done.
Okay. Pieces by Betty Page.
Forever Kisses by Betty Page. Kissing on cloud nine, surrounding her with pure love, forever kisses. Sweetly romantic, was just a bit of intrigue, smitten by danger. Two souls, infinite, entwined all so perfectly, forever in love. End poem.
Lovely read, Martha. Beautifully done. Thank you. And let's start right out with Pam on this one.
Oh, I thought this was just absolutely an amazing brevity. I really like how it speaks on that eternal connection of love. So beautifully written and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Jean, how about you?
I thought it was a great piece. It was short, but it was well done. And Betty is she's a master of the brevity, that's for sure. So nice work, Betty. Thanks for sharing that with us.
Great comment. And Laurent, how about your thoughts here?
Sweetly romantic, with just a bit of intrigue, smitten by danger. And isn't that the thing? When we lay it all on the line, trust somebody else that much, there is a little bit of danger. And so there's some very nice insight right there. Love the piece.
Wonderful comment. And from our very own master of brevity, Gray, how about your thoughts here?
I thought you did a beautiful job reading that, Martha. And, you know, this poem is heartfelt. It's filled with love and devotion. And I thought she captured the essence of Vito being a lover, surrounding his lover with sweet embrace and a kiss where he will never leave her side. I thought it captured him. Excellent read, Martha.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jimmy. Great comment, Gray. And Passion's Promise, how about you?
Beautiful read, Martha. This is a very heartfelt, romantic, compassionate piece that I found. I'm not brevity. I'm just touching on brevity myself. So when I see somebody that can actually do it, I get very envious. And this lady knocked it really well, and I love it. And I just love it. It's good. It's great.
Thank you. Wonderful comment there. Betty, it's a beautiful piece. And I love the fact that she's embraced not only the passionate aspect of Vito's work and the poignancy in his lines, but also the love aspect, because there was a great deal of that in his work as well. And she featured that beautifully here. Nice words, Betty. Back to you, Jean.
Okay, thank you. I'm sitting here talking to myself, so I apologize. I have to be honest. It's awful. Where did it go? Oh, here it is. I went, in here for Pam, and I'm like, all of a sudden it was gone. Okay, Ms. Pam, I have one for you to read.
All right. This is a tribute to Vito Tribuzio by Diane D., and it goes like this. So I came to All Poetry Site, and this talent was out of sight. I read poems night after night, wanting to write. I knew, though, that I'm not that fine. Writing was just for peace of mind, something I did not want in my own time. Inking and wine. A while later, I found my way through writing day after day. People liked what I had to say. I'm here to stay. Poem, writing contest. So I tried to write like the rest. I wrote lots and wrote my best. It's not a test. But the highlight by a good mile, other works were making me smile. Great rights that I read all the while. I love their style. Then came a day I found this poem written by Vito, a poet well known. I smiled inside, for I had been shown. He had his own. Rest in peace, Vito Tribuzio, and poem.
Beautiful read, Pam. Beautiful. And I know that you're familiar with that form, so I'm going to give you the first comment here. Pam? Uh-oh, did we lose you?
Who are you? Who did you say?
Pam.
Oh, yeah, I'm here. Yeah, well, this is a parody of Vito's poem. So I went to the country fair, and his poem, So I Went to the Country Fair, was a monotetra. While this one, while it's a parody and an excellent one, it has great rhyme and flow, it is not technically a monotetra because it does not have exactly 8 syllables per line. It does, however, have a really nice, repetitive last line that she pulled off well. Plus, I just really appreciate and enjoy the heart of this poem. I like how she brings us into her journey, how she started writing for herself. And you know, really thought nothing of it, but then it came to getting to know other people, having the fun of entering contests, and then, you know, getting to just learn about people through their poetry. And I really felt that last stanza was just filled with so much heart. And that end line, he had his own, really just reflects well on how so many of his poems, A.N. said, my own style. So excellent write and very well done.
Beautiful comment, Pam. Thank you. And a terrific read on this part, on this piece as well. And I know we lost Lou Yu in the room here, but we still have Martha and Passion's Promise. So let's get Passion's Promise here, and then I'll have Martha comment next.
Okay. Well, I'm a big fan of rhyme and form, and even though a little off here or there, but it still evened out for me, and the rhythm was fantastic. I just enjoyed it completely. I too found that the end was fabulous. Then came a day I found this poem written by Vito, a poet well known. I smiled inside, for I had been shown he had his own. She knew him, you know. Or if she didn't, she came to know him, and he had his own. And it was a great piece showing that.
Absolutely was. Thank you for that. And did we ever get Martha back?
Yep. So, gosh. Hi.
Hi, Martha. Did you want to comment on this?
Sure. I think it's a beautiful poem. It's a wonderful tribute, and I just love the rhyme and the flow. It's just gorgeous.
It is. Beautiful comment there. Thank you. And Gray, how about you?
Yeah, it was a fantastic read and an excellent write by Diane D. A beautiful tribute to a wonderful man and her finding her way through to AP and then, you know, all the rest of it, finding her voice. But, you know, being captured by his is it's a wonderful storyline.
It was. Thank you, Gray. And Laurent, how about you?
It may not have exactly the right syllable count, but I do love a monotetra. That last line in each stanza can be a little difficult, sometimes wandering away from the subject matter at hand, but this poem does not do that at all. Each line is specific to the body of the stanza. It's clever. It's well written. I love it.
It was. It was. I think she did a nice job of that, too. Beautiful read on that as well, Pam. And Jean, would you like to comment?
This is a wonderful poem, and I wanted to thank Diane. I'm going to skip commenting from here forward because we have a lot of poems.
Alrighty.
And a little time. Okay, just so everybody's aware. And Mindy, I'm going to put your piece up next. I'm going to start with everybody who's on the line.
Alrighty. This piece is entitled Cultivating Fields of Eden. Vine passions, cellared life embraced. Patriot arterials, poured of pulsed ink. Charting seasons, reasoned and labels maturing within. Penna sauce, purposed in Pomodoro DNA. Gardener's diligence, core yoked. Gaia favors toe grape stained. Barrel stomped, infusions born of internal suns. Terraced terrains ripen seaside to lakefront. Geese wake, potent rays chiding against wasted days. Plant and sow, celebrate and sorrow. Soil-bedded nutrients reside deep in this native sun. Growth roots itself upon twin shores. Process forged, alliances adopt. In loving pride and fierce passions, joining Italy to America. Seedsman savvy engraved in new page resilience. Valencia purpose persists in intricate weft of familia. Belt notch encompasses all who feast at tables rounded to encompass commonality. Ego's mastery lent itself to shore shares of selflessness. Earthy compassion, inspirited vibrancy warmly voiced. Dart's potent political arc, art to stand in satirical defiance. Fired at willing wrongs, witnessed, half deed and doer. Connections to home, love, family, friends, earth zones, course and consequence, his edifying truths in life's harvest. Collection delving furrows walked, cerebral crops, quill and flowering ventricle, well tended. End poem. The bottom is a personal note for me that I put there for everybody to read. But Chin Chin Vito,
beautifully
you'll
read.
Be missed.
Beautifully read, Mindy, and beautiful piece. Pam, do you want to start us off with comments?
Oh, absolutely. I thought this was just a beautiful, heartfelt tribute. I really like the pen of sauce proposed and how you mentioned the you know, as always, you have wonderful use of language and imagery. And within here, you mentioned his vibrancy, his spirit for life, the way he just made us all laugh and smile. I really like, too, connections to home, love, family, friends, earth zones, course and consequences, his edifying truth in life's harvest. And you can just see how, you know, within his poetry, within his conversations with people, and yet, as you had mentioned earlier, his love of gardening, he had so much about life that he harvested and shared. So just absolutely beautiful, Mindy, and very well done.
Thank you.
Excellent. Excellent comment. Gray, how about you?
Yeah, you know, that was a masterful crafting of a wonderful tribute to an excellent poem. And, you know, it's said in a way only that you can say. But it was just beautiful, Mindy. You paint a gorgeous scene and beautiful picture through this poem. Wonderfully done.
Thank you, Gray.
And Laurent, Reg.
Yeah, this is a loving tribute to Vito as a writer and as a gardener, a person who was family oriented, with a warm heart and open hands of friendship. There are some beautiful lines in this. Seedsman Savvy, engraved in New Page Resilience, was one that I particularly liked. And the ego's mastery lent itself to leveled shares of selflessness, earthy compassion, inspiring vibrancy, warmly voiced. That's so well done. You knew the man. You described him beautifully.
Thank you, Laurent.
Wonderful. Great comment, Laurent. And now, Lou, you're not back yet, correct? So, Martha, how about you? You want to comment?
Yeah, I thought it was beautiful. I really loved the poem. It was, had a beautiful message. I never met the man, but through these poems, I almost feel like I knew him.
Right. I hear you. These poems are wonderful. Okay, great comment. And Gray Eyes Smith, I have your piece up next.
Okay, great. Thank you. This is R.I.P. Vito by Gray Eyes Smith. Vito fancied himself as a ladies' man. Quick with the wit was part of his plan. He would try to charm with laughter, although this oft left disaster. Now he's in that special place where love and light accompany grace. May he rest in peace and all his torment cease. R.I.P. Vito. End poem.
Yeah. Great job.
You have such poignancy in your words, Gray. Truly do. Masterful piece. And Laurent, let's start out with you on this one.
Yeah, I could almost see Gray standing over Vito's open grave and reading those eight lines, and then throwing that mm-hmm. handful of dirt on top of the coffin, not with a tear perhaps, but with a smile, because those lines, he would try to charm with laughter, although this oft left a disaster. Well, not a large disaster, usually a burst of mock horror and guffaws of laughter, but what accompanied it's spirited language. But it's a great piece. It's great.
Thank you, Laura. I appreciate that.
It absolutely is. And Martha, how about you? Some thoughts for Gray.
It's a beautiful written poem. I love the message, and it was just really well done.
Thank you for that. And did we lose Passion's Promise? Do we still have Passion's Promise?
No, Passion's dropped, surprisingly.
Okay, my turn. I agree with Laurent 100%, and saying that this does feel like an official piece, like somebody's officiating over services. It has that command of spirit to it. It's honoring and understanding of the man, but with a wonderful tribute aspect to it. And you are masterful with your poignancy and your brevity rights. Beautifully done, Gray. And Pam, do we have you at all?
Yes, you do. And I think this is a wonderful brevity, a beautiful heartfelt tribute. And I love that you started it out with that humor that I know that Vito would have truly enjoyed. Vito fancied himself a ladies' man. Quick with the wit was part of his plan. So absolutely a wonderful write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam.
Great comment, Pam. Absolutely. And Jean, how about you? Oh, you said, okay. Back to you, Jean.
No problem. Wonderful piece, Gray. And a wonderful piece to you too, Mindy. I don't want you to feel left out.
No.
Just a great set of poems here tonight. I'm amazed. I don't know why, but I am. Okay, Laurent, I have your piece up next.
All right. Let me take a jump backwards. Okay. With respect and love for Vito, who was not just a comic master, I thought, but a skilled poet who wrote serious verse as well. What I enjoyed the most, however, was his wit and humor. Happily, having known him, we all carry a little bit of Vito inside ourselves and let us count our lives enriched. So, for Vito, he was that special voice taking you places with a twist to your funny bone, delightfully risque, a man of the earth who knew a good thing when he mastered it. And that thing was his unique brand of interpretive poetry, skewering euphemisms from The Monster's Bride Speaks to Dr. Frankenstein, Bloody Doctor in Your Bull Jive, every damn part you did revive, except a tool that will not thrive. It is not alive. It's not alive. To Honey, there was once a girl on a horse who was honey on the race course. We went for a ride. I made her my bride. It was a prelude to divorce. And not forgetting Gunga Din, the untold story. It was that Gunga Din, not Flynn, who drank, then peed and cut his gin, and there he was, flashing a grin. Bad Gunga Din. Bad Gunga Din. Vito was a man of the world. Wrote hard. His flag unfurled. Never reticent, ready to laugh. Deadly prescient. I missed his laughter, our Father Sarducci, raising heaven's roof, entertaining the hereafter, his risible beauty. And poem.
What a beautifully warm and embracing piece of poetry. I love that you gift words to him in his honor up top and break that introduction and then share special little snippets of his own work that demonstrated everything and underlined and underscored every thought that you gave above, the humor, the intellect, all of it, in a very personal regard and wonderful, wonderful nod to the man and the tip of your hat, which is just a class act, Laurent. This is a beautiful piece.
Thank you.
Pam, how about you?
Oh, I think this is absolutely wonderful. You know, and I was thinking, if there isn't already a patron saint of humor, they should now nominate Vito. I'm sure that he probably is because he's a patron saint for everything, but no, I thought this was wonderful. I really like how with your own heart and your own humor and your own way of weaving words, you've celebrated the heart and the humor of Vito, and you know, a fine nod to how he will truly be missed. And his laughter, but we know that he is truly like raising heaven's roof. So this is very well done.
Thank you, Pam.
And Martha, how about you? Some thoughts here.
I thought it was a beautiful poem, told with excellent style and humor. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you, Martha.
Lovely comment. Gray, how about you? Some thoughts for Laurent?
Yeah, you know, you're a masterful crafter of poetry, Laurent. You know, you show such respect and adoration for this poet, and it shines beautifully through your work. Excellent job, excellent read.
Thank you, my friend.
Absolutely.
Okay, Pam, I'm going to embarrass myself and ask you to share a comment.
Did you say my name?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. All right, so what did you want from me? I apologize.
A comment.
Oh, about you?
For the piece.
What? I'm completely confused.
For Vito.
Oh, okay. I don't know what to say.
The piece that Laurent read.
Oh! I already commented on Laurent's piece.
That's why I thought I embarrassed myself.
That's why
there.
I was confused. I'm sorry. I thought you wanted to say something else.
My bad, not yours.
Okay.
I'm wrapping things around and forgetting who went first. So back to you, Jean, on this one.
Okay, thanks a lot, everybody. Laurent, that was an absolutely wonderful piece. Nice job. For real. Okay, Ms. Liu, I put your piece up if you wouldn't mind reading it.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I hear you.
You know, I wrote this because every once in a while, his sadness would bleed through in his poetry. And, you know, I know he was funny and he was witty and he was sexy. But, you know, every once in a while we become blue. So this was written in reference to one of his poems. Was inspired by it. Midnight's Restless Awakening. Recollections, dreamy radiating aura of lights twirling, turban, swelling eyelash nighttime. Shrouds ever single embraced, love's camera's eye recollection, shuddering the sweetest, colorful taste entwined, nightly cornucopia of your pressed, overflowing red, smeared petal kisses. Moonshine, overflowing, tempting, stilling plump keepsakes, flowing shrouds of nighttime's nocturnal dreamy arousals. Smothered, pressed, penetrating, feverish, tense breath, laying on fiery, luxurious, wettish, clinging satin sheets, awakening cravings. In umbra, murky fog, distangled thoughts, needing to escape the glittering moonstream's titillations. Arid, waterous lips craving a steamy, piping, hot mocha-flavored, sweltering, milky sip in a dusky, pitch-black drive-through. Hazy shadows of you left behind. Sweeping radio music, headlights, keys clicking softly in a nightfall escape to a speechless window searching for a deserted coffee house. In poem.
Beautiful, right, and beautiful read, Lou. Just beautiful, Lou.
Thank you.
And let's get a first comment here from Greg.
You know, you did a wonderful read on this, and I thought, you know, as a tribute, it's a beautiful tribute to a man that wouldn't hold back his voice for radio or poetry. I thought it was just an excellent write, excellent read.
Thank you, Greg. Beautiful comment. And Laurent, how about you?
The poem is gorgeous. It's a wonderful remembrance and tribute to the man. But you absolutely blew me away with those final lines. Hazy shadows of you left behind, sweeping radio music, headlights, keys clicking softly, and a nightfall escape to a speechless window searching for a deserted coffee house. I mean to tell you, that set a chill up my back. It really did. Gorgeous writing.
Thank you, Laura.
And Pam, how about you?
This is absolutely beautiful all the way through. I think it's a wonderful tribute to him. And what I really like is that you did take this in a different direction. You looked at you looked at the sadness that he often held within or let out in little bits and through his poetry. And I like that you have that type of spirit yourself, Lou, where people open up their sadness to you. And I really like that second stanza, flowing, tempting, stealing, pump, keepsakes, and then where it says, in umbra murky fog, disentangled thoughts. I think too often it's easy for our thoughts to become, tangled up in that fog. And just absolutely a wonderful write and very well done.
Thank you.
Lovely comment, Pam. And how about you, Martha?
I thought it was really beautiful, full of emotion and just wonderful words, imagery, and just a beautiful poem, excellently written.
Thank
Absolutely.
You.
I second Pam's comment, Luyu, and I love the fact that you took a different direction with your work. And really, everyone has showed a different aspect this evening, and you've chosen one that went for the depths in a different way. You still have the knack of wrapping such beauty around even sorrow, and the two really kind of inextricable in this piece. I know that it would have him mopping his eyes and his forehead, because there's some sensuality in this as well. But there's an elegance, and understanding in this piece that takes precedence and kind of surfaces through the lines. You allow enough breath in the unveiling of this piece that it does surface that way, especially here where it says, in umbra, murky fog, disentangle thoughts, needing to escape the glittering moonstreams, scintillations, that to me, evokes that unfurling and unwinding and opening of those deeper expressions. And this piece has that pinned beautifully all the way through the right. And I can't wait to see which song you've added to this later here. But beautiful right and beautiful read, Lou.
Thank you.
Now, Laurent, did I forget you, Laurent?
You got me.
Okay. Well, then back to Jean.
Okay. Well, Lou, that was a great piece, and I'm sure Vito's lips are curled into a smile right now. Nice job.
I'm so curious.
Okay. We might be in a fetal position wondering if he dared.
Okay. Now, Martha, I'm going to put your piece up, and I'd like to ask you if you would read that for us tonight.
I thought I had a SoundCloud.
Actually, you do. I just did not get to it, and I apologize. But can I get you to read it?
Can I? It's a song. Should I sing it?
I guess. Sure.
I can read it. He takes me out to dinner like you did, and when he's upset, he never flips his lid. He tells me he loves me all the time, but my heart whispers, I wish you were still mine. I never have to wonder where he's been or ask myself, what was he doing then? He treats me so much better than you did, but my heart still plays. Than you, but my heart still plays me for a fool. Because my heart knows that he's not you, and it never lets me forget that's true. But you left me a long time ago, and I love him, but he's not you, you know. He brings me flowers for no reason, and I always know that I'm the one he's pleasing. I never doubt that he loves me, and unlike you, he would never leave. Because my heart knows that he's not you, and it never lets me forget that's true. But you left me a long time ago, and I love him, but he's not you, you know. But sometimes at night, after he's asleep, I have to go off by myself and weep, because even though he treats me like a queen, he is not the one in my dreams.
Ah, tender lines there, Martha. Beautifully penned. Absolutely beautifully penned.
Well, I didn't know him, so I could just read the poem that was there and write what it brought to mind.
That speaks of his strengthening, too, absolutely, that he's able to talk to your heart like that. Beautifully done. And Pam, I know that I missed you last round. Did you want to comment on Louie's before you speak to Martha's?
Oh, absolutely. These are wonderful, heartfelt lines. I really appreciate that you were inspired by one of his poems and took time to write. And I like that your poem touched on another side of Vito, which was the romantic, you know, side that wrote of love. And, you know, this is just an excellent write all the way through. But, you know, it reminds us that oftentimes, no matter how nice someone is, they're not the one that has captured our heart and haunts our dreams. So beautifully written and very well done.
Thank you.
Thank you. Nice. And Gray, how about you?
You know, it's hitting home hard when you're with somebody that you don't quite love as much as you love somebody who's left you behind. It's beautiful and it's tragic at the same time. Excellent write, excellent read.
Thank you.
Do we still have Louie?
Yes. Martha, I really, can you hear me?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. I wanted to let you know that you read this beautifully. I loved how you read this. I loved how you took the time to go read his poem and to pick out his emotions and write this in here. And, you know, right here is where you say it all. I never have to wonder where he's been or ask myself what he's doing then. He treats you so much better than you, but my heart still plays me for the fool. You know, sometimes we love somebody that really doesn't deserve our love because we're still in love with that other person. And even though this person treats us well, we still love that other person. And, you know, and that's where your chorus caught it. Because my heart knows that he's not you, and it never lets me forget that's true, that you left me a long time ago, and I loved him, but he's not you, you know. Those feelings that we just can't get rid of, even though he's moved on and we've been moved on.
Beautiful comment, Lydia. Did we get Laurent back?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
You want to go ahead and comment here?
I think this is a wonderful piece. It was a great read, Martha. I think that it actually had a great impact when you read it, just so you know. And that was, it was just beautifully penned, and a wonderful tribute to Peter's work. So, well done.
Good. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
Martha, this was a lovely piece. I agree. And the depth of care that you've taken in the time to share the way that Vito's piece affected you and touched you is moving. Lovely work.
Thank you. Absolutely. Okay. Well, let's see. I'm going to have some carryovers here. Amazing. Imagine that, right? Ms. Minnie, I'm going to ask you to read this next piece.
Okay.
I was going to have Laurent read it, but, you know.
All right. This one's by Rhymed Raven, and it's entitled I Reach for Words. I reach for words and find nothing, an empty basket deprived of joy, abandoned midway, between sadness and a mad sense of humor. I wanted to say goodbye still. I wanted to say farewell, my friend. I tried. We'll try again. I reach for words and find nothing. I lubricate my eyes, clear my throat, swallow my breath, and muzzle my sighs. Still, I reach for words and find nothing. I want to say goodbye, my friend, in the only way I can, without words. I'll just let my heart whisper. End poem. And I have to add the AN too. Goodbye, my friend. I will miss you always. That's beautiful.
Yeah. Absolutely. That's a beautiful comment.
Pam, do you want to go ahead and comment on this one first?
Oh, my goodness. I think this is absolutely stunning. I really like, I lubricate my eyes, clear my throat, swallow my breath, and muzzle my sighs. To me, this speaks beautifully on how so oftentimes expressing feelings goes beyond words. So this is very well done.
Beautiful comment. Thank you, Pam. And Luyu?
You did such a beautiful job in reading this poem. You know, sometimes, like what Pam says, there are no words to our sorrow. Sometimes all we can do is just, our heart is bursting with all the different memories and emotions, like he says here, between sadness and a mad sense of humor. You know, we don't always get to say goodbye to somebody because of things that happen. And sometimes poetry is the way that our heart bleeds.
Lovely way to put that. Very beautiful. And thank you, Luyu. Martha, some thoughts here for Rhymed Raven?
I thought it was beautiful. It expresses the way that sometimes we're just so filled with emotion that there really are no words that our mind can give us. We're just flooded with feelings that we can't express.
So right. Absolutely. Thank you, Martha. I agree with you 100%. Everything that all of you have expressed here. Gray, your thoughts here?
You know, it's a very touching poem, you know, not being able to say goodbye in your words, but letting your heart speak for you is just a beautiful sentiment. Excellent write. Fantastic read as well, Mindy.
Thank you. Yeah, Ryan Draven, you kind of choked me up with this piece. It was very moving, and the power of the write itself was felt very much. So, lovely words. And Jean, back to you.
Okay. Well, Ryan Draven, I thought this was just gorgeous, a wonderful tribute, and just an honor to a friend. Beautifully done. Okay, now Luyu, I'm going to ask you to read this piece, and this will be the final for the night.
Okay, and this is titled "This Way to Ohio, Columbus" by Vito Tiburcio. Italy is still the same Italy it was back when Latina was the hub of the Roman Empire, a free-for-all. Or a melting pot wherein now the only thing still Italian are traditions.
Luyu.
Foods, wines.
Luyu.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I put the wrong one up. That's the first one we read. Oh, God.
Okay.
Me tonight. Okay. I'm sorry. Wow. What a mess. I'm sorry. There you go.
That's okay. Okay. This is titled Dumb. Funeral by Vito Tiburcio. A fallen king tongues on Lady Liberty's dress like a petulant child, while ordinary people fall like autumn leaves and satanic horses and lame ducks. Try to neutralize the salt of the earth and set fire to masculine woods and feminine underbrush. Now the king blows foul breath because he's unable to grab Lady Liberty by the pussy. He tries, but his hands are too small. his legs too weak to support his own fat ass, and his gestures too blind to see the darkness that lurks within the flash of orange. All's well that ends well. We can't bring back the souls we lost, but we can honor the dead by taking good care of the living. God would agree. End poem.
Fantastic review. Fantastic review. That's a great piece, too. How about we start with you on this one, Gray?
I thought you did a beautiful job reading that, Lee. And, you know, the poem is kind of dark, but it's uplifting at the same time. And I thought it had an excellent flow and rhyme scheme. He tries, but his hands are too small, his legs too weak to support his own fat ass, and his gestures too blind to see the darkness that lurks within the flash of orange. You know, you can see all this as he writes through it. And I thought it was just a fantastic poem.
It absolutely was. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Gray. And Pam, how about you?
Pam dropped.
Okay.
Mindy.
Well, I have my two cents here. I think it's only fitting that the show tonight is wrapped by his own words. And Lou, you did a fantastic job reading that. Wicked ass lines. And I loved every one of the Vito. And you're going to be missed. Jean?
Absolutely. I thought this was a great piece. Mindy picked it, by the way. I didn't pick out the bad word poems. I didn't do it. She did. Okay, so I sold her out. So, okay, I can go on now. I thought it was a great read, Lou. And that was actually the very last piece that Vito wrote on the site. And Mindy and I had talked about it, and the ending of that poem really kind of pulled it together, I thought. And I went, wow, what a trip. So I want to thank you guys for calling in and sharing the night with us and all the wonderful work that was written for Vito. I'm going to see what I can do about picking a spot so we don't have to wait until next Friday to hear the leftover pieces. There was just so many, and they were all wonderful. So they all deserve the amount of time that they received tonight. And I want to thank everybody again for joining us. And thank you, Vito, for being all that you were when you were here with us. I think it was a wonderful night. And I appreciate you all. So have
love
a
you
much
guys.
Love.
Great weekend.
Much love.
Good night. Talk to you all soon.
Take care, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Much love, everybody.
Good night.